This is Pocket Presents, powered by Sleeper. Pocket Presents gang, welcome back to another episode. I hope that you all survived the fantasy roster death of week 7, I believe it was. I think it was week 7. Good God. Tyler, I had three receivers that got me a whopping 0.3 points. Debo Samuel, first receiver that I've ever had, end up with pneumonia mid-game. Didn't even get hit, just pneumonia. And then you have Devonta Smith with minus, I think he had minus yards, but that the point, half point for a catch was big. And then Courtland Sutton, big goose egg. So that's where we're coming from. And I'm ready for a fresh start. I could not wait for Tuesday morning when like the whole fantasy projections reset, when you can just click next on the week. I was ready for that. But happy morning. How are you?
Good. I mean, not to mention you have Chris Godwin going down for the season, Brandon Ayuk going out for the season. Mike Evans looks like he's going to miss some games now. It's like landmines happening all across the fantasy landscape, which just makes you think, you know, I put so much time and effort into thinking about my fantasy drafts every year. And it's like, you know, is Brandon Ayuk an early second round guy? Do I not pick him? And it's just like these freak things happen and you really have no idea. You forget how much of fantasy is really just luck at the end of the day.
Yeah, you've got to just make as many educated guesses and you've got to work waivers. Like waivers early, often. You've got to make weird trades that you think will pay out because people are going to get hurt. And that's just the name of the game. Man, it last week was wild. I mean, even just like looking at the Bucks, their entire season changed in two plays, right? Like they were I think when I was looking at the pregame line, because sometimes I give pregame lines for the week after, even though it's the money game. So like the Bucks were playing the Ravens, but it still lets you know that the Bucks were favored against the Falcons. Falcons were like plus 135 or plus 140 before the game. After the game, when the line redropped, minus 140. Just a complete swing. And it's just like, who are the Bucks going to be? They're probably not even going to make the playoffs now. I don't think they have enough on offense to make the playoffs. And their defense looks terrible. Like their defense looks so bad. They gave up 30-some points against the Saints. They gave up a shit ton against the Ravens. I feel bad for Baker. I'm back in the feel bad for Baker category because, God, does he not have help now?
Yeah, that's, I mean, their offense is cooking and that offensive coordinator down there in Tampa looks like he knows what he's doing, but now you're void of all these weapons. It's going to be difficult. But speaking of wide receiver reshuffling, we all woke up to the news on Wednesday morning. Hopefully you're up early enough to put in a waiver claim that D-Hop is now a Chief. It seems like the Kansas City Chiefs are just always able to find and then potentially revive some of these older guys. We've seen it now with Kareem Hunt. Juju Smith-Schuster was playing well earlier this year. And now you have DeAndre Hopkins, who's probably a better talent than both of those guys I just mentioned. What do you make of this move?
This is brilliant. This DeAndre Hopkins is the type of receiver that has really good spatial awareness and really good hands. We've complained about the Chiefs receivers' hands for a long time. D-Hop doesn't have that problem. D-Hop doesn't have the top end speed, but in this offense, he doesn't need the top end speed to get open. And how Pat Mahomes plays football, ball location, savvy, moving around, scramble drill. This is the perfect fit, and the Chiefs just got a lot better, and DeAndre Hopkins, I'm sure, will be smiling this week.
Yeah, I mean, to go from Will Levis / Mason Rudolph to now Patrick Mahomes seems like a big deal. And, I mean, talk to me about what you think this does for the Chiefs offense, because they haven't been great this year. Patrick Mahomes, notably, has not been great this year. Do you think this helps turn around some of his, you know, the statistical anomaly that has been the beginning of Patrick Mahomes' season?
I think this does turn around his season a little bit. It's another guy that he can trust and another guy that's when it's a 50-50 ball, it's definitely not getting picked, right? Like that's what we're looking at with this D-Hop trade. I also think this is going to be a nice cozy landing spot for D-Hop that he could end his career at. I don't know what his contract looks like. I don't know how many years is left, whatever. He might ride it out with the Chiefs, dude. Like this could be a really comfy thing and he's a dog. Pat Mahomes, how do they keep doing it? How do the Chiefs keep doing it every year? It's like they're so patient in the moves that they make that they get people when their value is at their elite fantasy GMs is what they are. And they're just, I don't know. I'm excited actually to watch this offense. I always shit on the Chiefs. I hate that they get all of the calls in their favor most of the time. I can't wait to watch this offense, dude. I'm actually really excited to see how D-Hop meshes with Mahomes. So this is a great move.
Yeah, and I think it's just a testament to how well the Chiefs are run. And when you look back now at this Patrick Mahomes $500 million contract that he signed a couple of years ago, it's now outside of the top 10 in terms of average annual value, how much Mahomes is getting paid. And for you to be paying Patrick Mahomes the 12th through 15th most in the NFL for the next 10 years, that allows you to make moves like this that look ridiculous and look like they should be impossible. Fantasy type GM moves, like you said, but it's just, you know, the foresight of the organization. And that's what good organizations do. We've talked a lot about on the show how bad some organizations can look. I'm looking at you, the New York Jets, but there are some that just seem to make it work year in and year out.
Yeah, the Chiefs have a good recipe, and I also think that Mahomes knows he needs help, right? Mahomes is not physically who guys like Lamar are, and that just is what it is. But Mahomes is really good in situational football, and he's good with guys around him that have big catch radiuses and can be savvy. That's his play style, so you got to pay a little more for that. And I know that Mahomes is making enough off the field that his on-the-field revenue, his salary, is probably the least of his concern right now, as he's trying to win as many Super Bowls and build legacy. So I just think Mahomes made a money move. So did the Chiefs that, okay, I'll take $500 million for 10 years, and I'm going to do everything I can to build my own name and brand to be a billion-dollar name. And he's well on his way with the guys around him and how they're structuring this Chiefs team. So smart business move.
He sure is. I want to hedge this next conversation because as we're recording this on Thursday, we have not yet seen the Vikings play the Los Angeles Rams. But I do think there's some interesting context built into this Cooper Kupp trade talk, because if the Rams lose tonight, I think they fall to 1-6 against, and maybe it's 1-6.
I think they're 2-6.
2-6, 2-5, yeah, regardless. Same they shit. Looking on the out, look, you know, on the outside looking in terms of the playoffs. And then you start seeing some of these players shopped around, and there's already been talks about where Cooper Kupp could land. We've heard Philly, we've heard Pittsburgh. It was floated the Chiefs, although that's probably not a likelihood now that D-Hop's there. Where do you think would be a good landing spot for Cooper Kupp if it does head that direction for the Rams?
You know, this is going to be weird, but I could see him going to San Francisco. They lost Ayuk, and again, contract-wise, who knows? Cap-wise, who knows? But of the teams that probably need a guy, if the 49ers win this week, and again, that's like kind of, they should win, but who knows? If the 49ers win this week, they could refresh with a Cooper Kupp that can give them a season or two. They get McCaffrey back in a few weeks, and then the 49ers are right around 500, scratching and clawing to go and make a playoff run. Cooper Kupp to the 49ers probably makes the most sense. And I know that Shanahan has a history with McVay. I know that if the Rams are done this year, it's not so bad to send your guy to a divisional rival. And I'm looking around the league. I'm like, where else can Kupp go? He's not going to go to the Jets. The Bills aren't going to trade for another guy, most likely. I mean, like, where else is there to go? Maybe Dallas? Like, Dallas only has CeeDee Lamb, but I don't know. I just, what team needs a receiver the most? The one that just had an ACL blowout and the one that's been decimated on offense? That's the 49ers. And I think that, I don't think the 49ers are able to swallow enough pride to not make the playoffs. And I think that they'll sell out and do whatever they can, even if it's not the best business move, to find a way to get back into the playoffs, because it's a very prideful group over there. And right now they might have if they make the playoffs, it might be a first round exit with who they have on the field. And if they have who they have on the field right now, they're not making the playoffs. So I don't know. This could be one of those weird Shanahan midseason moves that some way somehow opens shit up, and I'd be kind of annoyed about it, but I actually think that's the best fit.
Okay, that's interesting. We've heard a lot of Pittsburgh Philly talk, but I don't think anybody said the 49ers. That would be I don't know how McVay and Shanahan get along like that, but it seems like there maybe be a bit of rivalry there inherent that wouldn't allow McVay to send Kupp to Shanahan, but maybe I'm wrong.
And again, like, totally. I just think as far as scheme fit goes and need versus who'd be willing to give up the most, I don't think that Kupp probably doesn't want to go to Pittsburgh. The way that they run offense, that's not like really exciting. Again, also what is Kupp trying to do? He's already gotten paid, so he's probably trying to win a Super Bowl. Pittsburgh has to go through Baltimore. Like, the 49ers have been really close. They get McCaffrey back. Like, I just, they've been rivals. They've been this and that, but we've seen crazier shit happen. I just, now that all the dominoes have fallen, like, where makes the most sense? It's definitely not Philly. They already have Devonta Smith. They have AJ Brown. Like, and I don't know. Kupp is a X's and O's guy. Shanahan's an X's and O's guy. He'd probably sleep at Shanahan's house. They'd probably be so happy. They'd probably love each other. Personality types would just mesh so well. But again, divisional rival, like, probably won't happen. But if I'm just talking ball, if Kupp was a free agent and not being traded, he'd end up in San Francisco. That's what I'm saying.
Have you seen these rumors? And Jack Settleman is a friend of mine. I don't know what he knows about sourcing NFL news, but he reported the news, I'll call it, yesterday, according to sources he has, that the Vikings and the Rams were thinking about a Stafford for Darnold trade. I want to talk about it because if it happens, that would be huge news. What do you think of that?
Is that facts?
I don't know if it's facts. I mean, again, Jack Settleman, great guy. I don't know what the hell he knows about breaking NFL news.
Hold up now. If that's actually any bit true, it'd be brilliant. Stafford is a better quarterback than Sam Darnold. I don't care what anybody says. I love Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold's a dog. Sam Darnold's young and could go to the Rams for a rebuild. And he showed that he can do it. He showed that he can be the guy. As far as win right now and win a Super Bowl in a window where it's like this close in a division that's really difficult, I'd be all for it. I think that both sides would benefit from it. I think that the Rams cap-wise would benefit. I think future-wise, I think Darnold would be the only person that'd be pissed about this. However, Kevin O'Connell, he has some history with Stafford, doesn't he? Wasn't he there in an overlap?
Yeah, he might have been.
I mean, come on now. Stafford with guys around him, top five quarterback in the league. No doubt, every single time. Give him that defense. I mean, if you're just talking swapping situations, we say the same about Kyler Murray all the time. If Kyler Murray wasn't a Cardinal, he'd be a top 10 quarterback, top five quarterback all the time. He's a Cardinal. Doesn't have much help. Stafford, same thing, dude. Stafford could. Vikings might be my Super Bowl favorite if they did that. Mm. Now, I like Darnold. We've been on the Darnold train, but Darnold also has a ceiling, and Stafford's ceiling's a little bit higher.
I'm with you. Let's close out a little bit more quarterback talk here before we get into the slate of games. Russell Wilson looked good in his primetime debut against the New York Jets. I know you weren't a fan of the Steelers making this switch away from Fields, but what did you see? You know, Russell Wilson, the stats, the box score looks good for him. What did you see?
Box score looked good. I think that he was an elevation clearly in the passing game for Fields. I also think that early in the game, Fields would have picked up a few first downs that would not have gotten them behind. And I also think there was some real big scrambling ops that Fields would have just probably had 100 yards of rushing for. Jets defense played terrible. I will say that of maybe he threw five balls that were vertical, Russell Wilson underthrew four of them that his guys made plays on. And Pickens just needs more chances because Pickens is best receiver in the league at 50-50 balls. It's damn near 80-20 with 0% chance of getting picked. I really am interested to see if we get to see Fields again. Was he able to learn enough from Russell Wilson and how he just literally threw it up to Pickens when it was one-on-one that Fields could add that to his game? Throw the deep ball with a little more arc and don't try to be perfect. The one thing Russell Wilson did great at was he kept the ball in play. Did not throw it out of bounds. Didn't try to be perfect on the deep balls. Underthrown doesn't matter. Pickens, great body control. We'll say too, box score, crazy deceiving. Russell Wilson started really bad in that game. He missed some throws, missed some this and that, like missed some reads. He did not look comfortable, and then he settled in. But also, the Jets' defense was so fucking bad. They had guys, if you watch the tape, which we put an all-22 out, they had guys running wide open all over the place that regardless of if it was Russell Wilson or Fields, those guys would have been hit. And that was probably like 80 to 90 yards in passing of just uncovered dudes. So we'll find out a little bit more. Again, they play the Giants this week. Giants defense isn't bad. They didn't have a great week last week because Saquon took over, but they do have a challenge on defense this week. And I don't know that Russell Wilson's just going to be able to pick apart a defense that has wide open guys all the time. So we'll find out. I do still love Fields. I think that it's different styles of play. And I think that what Fields doesn't bring to the table is fixable. So that's my synopsis. Can't take it away from Russell Wilson. He played well in his debut.
All right. Great film review you did earlier this week on Pocket Presence. Make sure everyone goes and checks that out. Let's dive into the games. We'll start with Philly at Cincinnati. The Bengals are favored by 2.5. You have two teams here that seem to be teetering on the brink of it could all start going right or it could all start going wrong, and you could see it get blown up. I want to read you a stat. Producer Roddy, obviously huge Eagle fans here, huge Eagle fan here. Quinyon Mitchell playing really well in his rookie year. Yeah. He's allowed no touchdowns this year, a 48% completion percentage, and a 70.6 QB rating. So he's balling. You obviously have the strength of the Bengals being that Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow connection. What do you make of this game?
You know, this game to me comes down to the matchups of offense versus defense. I think that the Bengals offense is better than the Eagles defense by a decent bit. I think that the Eagles offense is worlds better than the Bengals defense. The Bengals defense is really bad. And they had an okay week against Danny Dimes last week or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. I think that the Eagles actually win this game. I could see Cincy winning this game, but I think the Eagles are going to win this game because they're going to establish the run versus a defense that's weak. And I think that, again, Ja'Marr Chase is really good when you leave him wide open. And I would love for the Eagles just to not leave him wide open. Let's just make him make contested plays because he's not like dogging people all the time, but don't leave him one-on-one outside. Just don't do that. Give a little safety help. Make Joe Burrow go all the way down the field methodically and boring because they thrive on the big play. Eliminate the big play. They'll make some mistakes. That line will give up some sacks now, and then you get them in the third and long and they punt. It's the game plan on the defensive side for the Eagles should be very simple. Just don't get beat deep. Be opportunistic. Let our offense run the clock out, and we'll beat them 21-17.
All right, let's stay in the AFC North. We have Baltimore at Cleveland. The Ravens favored by 8.5 on the road. I want to bring this game up because we obviously have a QB change in Cleveland. I think a lot of fans, I certainly believe that the Browns have a better chance of winning with anybody not named Deshaun Watson as their quarterback. Do you think Jameis provides any bit of bump to this Browns team?
I love watching Jameis Winston throw football, I'll tell you that. I think that the Ravens will win this game. I think they'll win it handedly because the Browns' offense around Jameis has been that bad. Like with Deshaun Watson, he's not been great this year, but everyone else has sucked too. I think that Jameis is going to just go out slinging, and I can't wait to watch this. And I still think that Jameis could start for some teams right now, not being the Browns, and win them some games. So I'm excited to watch this game wildly enough, and I hope that Jameis plays well, even though the Ravens are probably going to win.
All right, Green Bay at Jacksonville. Packers favored by 4. Starting to look like this Packers offense is rolling a little bit, although I do get worried that playing a Jags team, sure off a win, could be a bit of a trap game for the Packers.
Yeah, the only thing trappy here is Trevor Lawrence to me, and I think he's going to be a trap for fantasy owners going up against the Packers defense. Packers defense, most opportunistic defense in the league, just crushing the turnover margin. Yes, Jordan Love's turning over the ball, but also on the other side, they're flipping it back. And Jordan Love's also throwing a lot of touchdowns. So we talked about it earlier this week. People are slightly concerned about Jordan Love's interceptions. I, for one, am not. He's scoring touchdowns in the red zone, and that wins football games versus kicking field goals. And that's all we care about. I think the Jags defense is going to get absolutely eaten alive. Would not be shocked to see Green Bay win this game by 17 to 21 points. Jacksonville played the Patriots in London after being in London for 2 weeks where they belong. And Jacksonville's got another thing coming this week.
All right. I love it. Let's close out with the game of the week. I'll call it Chicago at Washington. Chicago is favored by 3. That's probably just the Jaden Daniels unknown baked in the line. And I certainly hope Daniels plays just for the enjoyability of this game. Let's assume that Daniels is good to go. What do you make of this rookie QB duel?
I can't wait to watch this game. I think that Jaden Daniels, I think he plays, but even if he doesn't play, I'm not going to say Washington doesn't have a chance. Their offensive scheme is really good. Their defense is playing relatively well. However, if you look at Chicago, Chicago's defense is really damn good. They're a top 10 defense, arguably top 5. Most of the points, in my opinion, that have like skewed that is when the Chicago offense was abysmal and just kept giving the ball back to the other team's offense. Makes it tough to play defense. This is going to be a watch and see what happens game as far as live betting goes. Who can establish the run in this game? Who can establish a run? Who can take care of the football? And who can score touchdowns in the red zone? I know it sounds simple and cliche, but that literally is what this comes down to. Because Chicago, when they get the ball to Keenan Allen in the red zone, he's been a huge factor. Keenan Allen is my X factor in this game for the Chicago Bears offense. And for Washington's offense, I actually want to see what can Eckler do. Because I think the other guys are going to be getting their plays this and there. Eckler's been that sneaky flips the field guy for them the past few weeks, where he'll bust out a 40-yard reception or a 30-yard run randomly, and those change drives and lead to points. So I don't think that Eckler's featured in this, but if Eckler can pop a few, that makes everybody's job on Washington a little bit easier against a really stout defense, and that could get them going. So, man, I love Washington. I kind of think Chicago wins this. I just think it's a matchup game. This is not about Jaden versus Caleb. Chicago's defense is really damn good. And with Chicago's offense hitting stride, I think that they could be one of the better teams in the league right now, mainly because of Keenan Allen. We saw what Keenan Allen brought to the table for Caleb Williams last week, and he's been what's missing for them. So give me the Bears.
You say that with not a lot of conviction.
Yeah, I don't like betting against Jaden Daniels, but we also don't know if he's going to play. And if he's going to play, is it going to be 100% against a really good defense with bruised ribs? I know what that feels like. I played a game with fractured ribs, and that shit sucks. And you start shying away from hits, and you start making decisions that you might not normally make. It's the human nature of it. So maybe we'll get Perk Jaden this game. Maybe we'll get Perk Jaden. Perk Daniels. Give Perk me Daniels. Perk Daniels, baby.
All right, Kurt, let's close it out with some picks. We were so close last week. We were on the right side of Detroit, Minnesota. It was just David Montgomery and Jameson Williams sold, although Jameson Williams now for the next two games cannot hurt us. So let's talk some picks. I mean, if we would have limited ourselves to, six instead of eight, we would have been all right. So maybe we played a little bit more conservative this week, but I'll let you drive.
Let's go stack more money.
Yeah, you're the master here. Let's go.
Let's go stack some more money. So we're going to hit record. And first off, Sleeper, I sent a text in our group chat to our Sleeper gang. Hey, what's up with the alt lines? Where are they? Did you take them away because we've been cooking? Alt lines are back, baby. I see them right here. And I'm pretty damn excited. So let's go look at it. I'm looking at you, AJ Brown, you filthy animal, you. You've had over 89 yards in every game that you play. Give me a little AJ Brown against a shit defense. Give me we're going to play it safe. We're going to go 50 yards. That should be a gimme. Jamar Chase, you've had over 50 in the last few games. Let's take you. Saquon, what are you looking at, big dog? You're looking at me. Let's get Saquon to have 50 yards rushing for 1.06. And right now we're at 1.4. So I like grabbing these games where I love the offenses and start stacking. That game, we're staying away from everything else. Now let's go to Baltimore. Baltimore plays the Cleveland Browns. The only thing that I like in this game, to be honest, the lines aren't even out yet. I was going to go back to Zay Flowers because he didn't have a great game, and I like the matchup in the slot this week, but we're going to stay away from that. Keep moving forward. We're talking good offenses. What's a good offense? The Lions. The Lions have a good offense. And you know who's balling right now? Jahmyr Gibbs. Montgomery, a little bit of a rolled ankle. They want him healthy. Or no, he had a contusion on his knee. They want him healthy. This is going to be a Jahmyr Gibbs game. Jahmyr Gibbs has not had under 50 yards rushing since week one. And even though the Tennessee Titans defense is a little bit stout, we're going to take a 1.24 on Jahmyr Gibbs rushing yards, 50 over, and we're going to take that. Right now, we have four entries as 1.7. Remember, we've got to get to two multiplier to submit this. Now, we're going to move to another game and spread ourselves out a little bit. Give me the Green Bay Packers game. All right, you know who's been as good as gold? Jordan Love throwing for over 225 passing yards. I think against this defense, he's going to cook. Now, look, he had 224 one week and 220 last week. I think that this is the week that he goes over 225. This is 1.27. This would put us over two. If you're feeling a little iffy about it, go take his 200. And you know what? That's what we're going to do. We lost some money last week. We're going to go take his 200. I just talked myself out of it. We're going to take his 200, but I do believe he's going to go over 225. He might even throw for 250. This Jags defense is dog shit. So give me 200 plus. We need one more thing to push this thing over 2X. And right now, let's go spread ourselves out to one more game. Let's go. Oh, Falcons game. You know who else is balling? Bijan Robinson. Bijan Robinson over 40 rushing yards puts us at 2X. Ooh, it's just barely under 2X. Give me 50. 50 rushing yards put us at 2.3. $50 would pay out 115. That's our first entry I like. Again, AJ Brown over 50. Jamar Chase over 50. Saquon over 50. Gibbs over 50. Love over 200. Bijan over 50. That's $50 pays out 115. There's number one. Bam, saved. Close out that one. We're going to do one more. We've been really, really hot with quarterbacks. We've been reading the game scripts. We know what the deal is. We're going to go passing yards on quarterbacks all over the league. Here we go. We're going to start with Brock Purdy against the Dallas Cowboys decimated defense. We're going to go back to the well here, 200 passing yards. Brock Purdy has hit this, and I think damn near every single game he's played in the NFL as a starter. He was on a 15-game win streak of 225 yards passing, and we teased it last week to 200 because we felt like it was going to miss, and it hit. So we were perfect there. We're going to take him as one. That's 1.2. We're going to go back to Jordan Love, go take his 200. He slings the ball around. Now, who is going to have a bounce back game this week? None other than CJ Stroud. Give me CJ Stroud to throw for over 200. He has not done that in the last 2 weeks. He's been missing Nico Collins, but he's played against two really good defenses. I think he's going to throw for 200 in this divisional game. The last time that he played the Colts was week one. He threw for 234. I think he gets that back this week and he gets back on the horse. Right now we're sitting at 1.5. Another person that I absolutely love to go crazy this week is Geno motherfucking Smith. Give me Geno Smith to throw for 200 passing yards. That's 1.17 against the Buffalo Bills. That's a home game. It's going to be a big game. And then Jared Goff has three straight games of where he's throwing for nearly 300 yards and his line's set at 240. They're playing the Titans. Are they going to need him to be him this week? Maybe not, but you can get him at 175 passing yards. Jared Goff, 175 passing yards. I can't believe they're giving us that line. Go throw that in there. And then last but not least, Kirk Cousins. Do you remember what he did the last time that he played against the Tampa Bay Bucks? He threw for 500 yards. So we're going to go take him to throw for 200 yards. And right now we have five quarterbacks. One, two, three, four, five, six quarterbacks where $50 pays out 107. And look, I like stacking high probable things. Other people can go play their $10, pays $1,000 and hit it once every 2 years. Cool. We're going to go double our money every week. So that's what I like this week. Those are my picks. We got our quarterback one. We got our other fun ones. And I think it's going to be a good week, man. I think it's going to be a really good week.
We've been hot. I mean, last week was close to another win.
It was really close. And that would have been a good multiplier for our standards, too.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling good. Well, if you guys are liking these, make sure you like, comment, subscribe. Also, if you haven't done the picks yet and you want to get in the action, you can go to Sleeper, use code Kurt to get your first time deposit match up to $100. And you can also go check out the film reviews. Again, a lot of these picks that we make are based on what we're watching on Sunday, game script wise, who's hot, who's not, historicals, all of it. We do our research. I do a lot of research all week long. And man, I'm excited for this slate, Tyler. Good luck to you. Good luck to us. Good luck to you fans out there that are watching. And we'll see you guys next week.